was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the most exciting things to do when you are a parent is to name your child. You spend months trying to figure out what that name for that new child will be. You read name books, you consult with others, you listen to suggestions, you think about family names, Bible names, trendy names, popular names, long names, short names, even your own name. Each person here probably has some history behind the name that they were given, some story behind the name they were given. My daughter was named after two grandmothers who passed away in my and my wife's families, Angelin and Alice, both with the letter Y in it. Grant got my first name as his middle name, and we picked his first name simply because of its great alliterative value. Grant Grunboom, gruh, right? It's the only reason. Heidi got her first name because she was born on the birthday of one of my wife's close friends at the time, Heidi Boonder Veldman, September 16. She got her middle name Rose because we liked it, and it seemed to fit. And when we told the nurses at the hospital what her name was, they laughed and said, "That's one of our nurses' names who works on this floor. Her name is Heidi Rose, first and last name." What a coincidence. Allison, I have no idea why she got that name, but I love everything about it. The way she spells it, one L, the way she prints it, writes it, signs it, says it. I always use her full name. I never shorten it. She is always Allison to me, while others shorten it to Al sometimes. She has no middle name. And I was named after my dad, first, middle, and last, Roger Bruce Grunboom, though I am not officially a junior. Junior did not go on my birth certificate. Those are all the naming reasons for my immediate family. Now you know everything. Naming is sometimes unpredictable. My wife's brother was going to be called Keith for my mother-in-law's entire pregnancy. That's what they planned if he were a boy. He was born, and my mother-in-law took one look at him and said, "Doesn't look like a Keith. He looks like a Timothy." He has been Timothy ever since. At each new birth, it's exciting to hear what new children will be called and what they will be baptized. Exciting to see how well names fit us. You'll often hear someone say something like, "Boy, well, she doesn't look like a Penelope to me. She looks more like a Sue." Or, "His name fits perfectly. If there ever were a Jameson, he is it." Now, these statements are simply someone's opinion. But when we think about it, we have to admit, with some names, children take a little while to grow into them, and we have to get used to them. I'm sure the name Emmanuel was like that. No offense, E-man. Okay? Especially when we consider what Emmanuel means. God with us, or God is with us. Probably took a while to get used to that idea. Get used to a little baby with a big name, born in Bethlehem. In our scripture, the angel comes to Joseph in a dream, and we learn what our Savior's name is going to be. He is going to be given the name Jesus, which has a meaning something along the line of he saves, a fitting proper name for our Savior, Jesus. That's his birth name. But we also learn in this story that Jesus' birth is going to fulfill a bit of Old Testament prophecy from the book of Isaiah. Matthew, you understand, if you read his entire gospel, is fond of quoting passages from the Old Testament. He takes those passages and he applies them to Jesus and his work. Right here is the first time in the book of Matthew where Matthew does that. And he does this to show the Jewish people, to show the Jews who read this book or read this book that Jesus is the Messiah, to show them that Jesus is the anointed one to whom the Old Testament has been pointing all these years. Jesus is the one. All those old prophecies are pointing to Jesus. He's telling them. Matthew's job as a writer, it seems, and we saw a little of this yesterday when we talked about Jesus being King of Kings and Lord of Lords, King of the Jews. Matthew's job was to convince the Jewish people, his people, to prove to them that Jesus, he was the one. There were a few movies about that a while back. The Matrix movies, one of its lead characters named Morpheus spent the better part of a couple of movies trying to convince everyone that a man named Neo was the one. Clever little transposition of those letters, those three letters, N-E-O, Neo, and O-N-E, one. Neo is the one, the Messiah figure in these movies. Well, for Morpheus, that's simply a page right out of Matthew's book. Matthew knows he's found the one, found the Messiah. We found our man, and he's a baby, an infant. All this took place, says Matthew, to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child, will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. You've got to be kidding me. A baby? Emmanuel, God with us? That's absurd. I'm sure many a Jew had a big problem with this little baby with a big name, and many still do. For many Jews today, Emmanuel, the God with us one, has not yet come. They don't believe Jesus was Emmanuel, the one the Old Testament had pointed to for so long. They weren't convinced. Unbelieving Jews aren't alone in this. As you know, there are unbelieving Gentiles, non-Jews, us. They have different reasons for not believing. Emmanuel, God with us? No way. I am God, or I'm part of God. God is not a different thing than I am. Some people think that, that we all somehow make up God. Our energy or our life force is part God. That cricket is part God. That tree, part God. And me, I'm part God. Others think, Emmanuel, God with us, so what? God didn't close the deal for me. In fact, God did me dirty, cheated me, never gave me the nice nest egg he knows I want. They think instead, I did that. I worked my way up. I acquired all my possessions. Many more say, Emmanuel, God with us, I don't want any part of him. Never came when I called, never backed me when I begged, never propped me when I prayed. Don't tell me there's a God, and don't even think about telling me he's with us. If there ever were a God, well, he moved on to pastures green and left me in problems deep. That little baby with the big name, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, it took and it often takes a long time to get used to such a big name for a little baby. My grandfather on my mom's side, Henry, actually both my grandpas were named Henry. One we called Grandpa, the other one we called Pocky. Pocky lived to be 100. And during the later years of his century of life, when he was blessed with grandchildren, us, his grandkids, and even great-grandkids, they heard him over and over say something along these lines to them. Such a little girl playing the piano at a big recital. Such a little boy eating at the grown-up table at Thanksgiving. Such a little girl going out on a date. Such a little boy playing basketball on the high school team. It was my grandfather's way of acknowledging that, well, he was proud of his grandchildren. I remember preaching one of my earliest sermons. I was still in seminary, and sometimes you're able to go back home and preach in your growing up church, which I did. And my grandfather heard me preach, and his words of wisdom to me after the worship service were these: such a little boy preaching in front of all those people. I was 27. It was my grandfather's way, as I said, of saying he was proud of us. And it was so nice to hear that from my grandfather, even in my late 40s when he died, that he was proud of us grandkids and the great-grandkids, our kids, too. He was proud of us when he said that. But it was also his way of slowly but surely recognizing and getting used to the idea that we were all, including him, growing up and getting older, getting used to the idea of, well, aging. With Jesus Christ, the little baby with the big name, Emmanuel, it's another story. Not everyone got used to the idea. Not everyone today still warms up to the idea that this little baby was Emmanuel, God with us. It takes some convincing. That's what Matthew's trying to do here. Convince the Jews that, yes, this is he. This is Emmanuel. This little baby boy is Emmanuel. He is God with us. That convincing is going to take some doing. Matthew is a Jew writing from a Jewish perspective, and he knows other Jews are going to read his gospel, and Matthew's fellow Jews, just like he does, have a vast history of God with us. And Matthew, that little baby, well, he is no God with us, Matthew. He's not. He's no God with us. For those old enough, remember Lloyd Benson saying to Dan Quayle, who had compared himself to JFK in their vice presidential debate in 1988, Benson looked him in the eye and said, "Senator Quayle, I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy." This is going to take some convincing by Matthew for his Jewish pals. They have a vast history with Emmanuel, God with us. And there's no way Emmanuel can be a little baby, can be a little baby. Think back a moment, way back. Book of Exodus. After the slavery of the Israelite people in Egypt, after all the plagues, after the angel passed over the houses of the Israelites and spared the firstborn children, and the people fled from Pharaoh, and the people walked safely through the sea, after manna and quail fell from heaven, and water shot out of the rock, after the Ten Commandments were given by God, then God tells Moses in Exodus 25, verse 8, tell the people of Israel to bring me an offering, then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. There he is, Emmanuel, God with us. But now remember also the picture that the people had in their minds of this Lord God who would dwell among his people. Keep in mind what the Lord God looked like in the minds of the Israelites. In an earlier chapter of Exodus, we have descriptions of what the top of Mount Sinai looked like, the place where Moses received all the law and the instructions from the Lord God, the place from which Moses descended and his face was radiant. In Exodus chapter 19, let me read verses 16 through 19. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the crowd or in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of the Lord answered him. In Exodus 20, we read, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us, or we will die. The people were terrified of God with us. Later in Exodus 24, we read, when Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days, the cloud covered the mountain. On the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. And once the tabernacle was built, we read at Exodus 40, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because cloud settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And one more passage, this one in Leviticus, with the tabernacle built now and the priests commencing their duties. All the people of the camp witnessed this in Leviticus 9. Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting. When they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord, consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. Here was Emmanuel. Here was God with us. The Israelites, they were no strangers to this idea. They had a history of Emmanuel, and it struck fear and trembling and joy into their hearts. It terrified them and filled them with joy at the same time. Don't come any closer. Your glory's too great. But don't leave either. Your glory's too wonderful. Oh, yes. Israel knew all about Emmanuel. But the little baby with the big name, that was different for the Jews, for the Gentiles, for anyone who just can't see it. It takes some getting used to the idea. A baby? Yes, he is God with us. But as Jesus grew older, he never seemed to fit those Emmanuel shoes then either. A life of suffering, of pain, of tremendous service. Where was the fire? Where was the fear and trembling he was supposed to strike into their hearts? Where was the fire? Where was the smoke? Where was the trembling mountain? Couldn't be Emmanuel, not a baby, not a sufferer. Couldn't be. And so they crucified him. They raised up the one who came down. They bravely beat him without an ounce of fear. They taunted him as he trembled on the cross. Here's how it went. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." Didn't they realize? The temple, with a capital T, was right there before them. Didn't they realize he was saving them? Didn't they realize he already had come down? Didn't they realize he was Emmanuel? In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the king of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross. We'll believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, "I am the Son of God." Quite a change. The Jews used to cower in fear at Emmanuel. They used to tremble like the mountains at Emmanuel. Sometimes they swelled with joy at Emmanuel. Not now. We want God with us. Come down, they taunted. We'll believe you, Emmanuel. Come on down. No fear, no trembling, no joy. Fearless, taunting and filled with hatred at the suffering of the little infant with the big name, Emmanuel. Didn't we realize he had come down? Didn't we realize he was saving us? Didn't we realize he was Emmanuel, God with us? As if to strike one last nail into the empty coffin, Matthew closes his gospel just as he began it. He quotes Jesus' words, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I am with you, Emmanuel. How did Matthew begin his gospel again, begin his argument, his proof? The virgin will be with child, will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And where did he end his gospel, his argument, his proof? Surely I'm with you always, Emmanuel, to the very end of the age. Matthew hangs the question in the air. Are you convinced? Did I win you over? Have I said enough? What do you think of my proof? Was Jesus Emmanuel, God with us, or wasn't he? Matthew's answer is emphatically, yes, he was and is and will be. He is God with us, Emmanuel. Believe my good news. Trust my good news. Get used to the idea once and for all. He's the little baby with the big name. He is. He has come. He has saved us from our sins. He truly is Emmanuel. Believe it. Believe in him. Such a little baby growing up to do so many big things. And every step of the way, he was, and he is, and he will be God with us, in us, for us, Emmanuel. Amen. Let us pray. Father, help us always to know that Jesus is Emmanuel. From that little baby, he grew up and saved us from our sins on the cross. And he is with us always. We ask you to move among us. And if someone does not know this good news about Jesus, we ask that your word and spirit will convince them right now. We'll get them used to the idea that a little baby so many years ago truly was God with us so that he could save us from our sins at the cross. Convince them, Father. Convince them to turn their lives over to you and to your son, Emmanuel. And for all of us, thrill us again this Christmas day that in Jesus, God is with us. He is with us every moment of every day and every moment of every night. In Emmanuel's name we pray. Let all God's people say, amen.